All right. Everyone looking good? Why don't you pray with me? You can pray with me, after me, however you do it. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father and our King, give me eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to perceive, and the will to obey your word that I hear today in Yeshua's name. So, it's Hanukkah. Right, it's a great season. We enjoy it thoroughly. And today's message, I'm going to continue on in our series on Hanukkah. I'm going to be talking about the anointing of God. We all know the beloved story of the oil that was only enough for one night, and it lasted for 8 nights. And that miracle sits on the foundation of an anointing and a righteous fight that Mattathias and his sons undertook to see our Jewish people preserved. And we are here celebrating Hanukkah today because of what they did, right? So we're going to talk about the anointing, because what took place in that Maccabean resistance was anointed of God. How else could such a ragtag bunch of farmers with pitchforks, you know, pretty much, go against such a great army and win if it was not for the anointing of God on their lives? Anointing comes from or is about the consecration of a sacred person or item and initiating it in its special function. We see this throughout the Torah. The earliest instance of anointing in the Torah is the stone which Yaakov anointed to dedicate as an altar in Bereshit, chapter 28. Throughout the generations, a special anointing oil was used to consecrate kings and high priests. God instructed Moshe to produce this anointing oil, which consisted of olive oil mixed with certain spices in the proper proportions. The Talmud in Horiot 11b explains that whereas all high priests were anointed, a king was only anointed if he began a new dynasty or if there was some controversy surrounding his appointment. This is why, as we saw above, only a few kings were anointed throughout history. In addition, there was also a special priest anointed for war, the Meshuach Milchima, who was anointed for the specific role of speaking to the troops before they went out to battle, right? He had an anointing to stir them up, right? To impart to them courage before they went out so they could fight the fight and win. It should also be noted that since oil was typically used to anoint people to greatness, the Torah occasionally uses the term to anoint or mashach, where it simply means to appoint to a high position. Likewise, the Torah occasionally uses the term anointed one, which is equal to the term Mashiach, right, Messiah, and can refer to a person appointed to carry out an important task, and definitely refers to the Mashiach who would be sent to deliver Israel. So the anointed one, the Mashiach, right, was anointed for a specific task. Last week, Rabbi Carroll spoke about the two priests. You remember them, Jason, right? And he was, quote unquote, the anointed Kohen HaGadol out of Jerusalem. However, he sought to Hellenize our people, right, and desecrate. He was part and parcel of seeing what happened in Jerusalem. Versus Mattathias, who fought the fight of freedom, like we sang today. He fought the fight of freedom. He was truly anointed of God, and God wrought this miraculous victory that culminates in the miracle light of the oil. So from pillar to post, it was about a 4-year war, so from pillar to post, God's anointing was present upon him and his family. You see, they were appointed by God to carry on the task of liberating Israel's faith in the one true God from tyrannical oppression. They were anointed. I want to talk about the anointing and why it's so important for us. Because you could say, what does that have to do with me? That happened, you know, many years ago. Even Mashiach, he's already did it. He's the anointed one. But I want to talk to you how important it is for us to both fight the fight of faith that we face daily and to also fight to liberate the souls of men and women from darkness. You and I need that same anointing. And as we'll see, the scripture promises that we are anointed. So let's talk about what the anointing is. The scripture, when talking about the Kohen HaGadol, says, take the anointing oil and anoint him by pouring it on his head. Okay? Shemot 29 and 7. This is also mentioned in Tehillim as well when speaking about unity. In Tehillim 133, it says, it is like fragrant oil on the head that runs down over the beard of Aharon, and flows down on the collar of his robe. That was the anointing oil. Because Aharon was the Kohen HaGadol. This is the anointing oil that comes in contact with the person to be anointed who is used in the service of God. The word Mashiach is where we get Mashiach, and it carries the idea, say contact, of contact. To smear, not shmear, that's different, but to smear or to rub with oil, to consecrate to an office or religious service in order, hear this, to furnish them with powers necessary for its administration. For powers necessary to get the job done. That's what the anointing's for. And it's an anointing that God gives. As a matter of fact, we could say that God pays a lot of attention to anointing in both the Tanakh and the Brit Chadashah. In fact, the very anointed one would come, furnished with great power, as Messiah did, to liberate those who were oppressed. Since oil was used as the vehicle for the anointing of individuals, it has become one symbol of God's anointing with the Ruach HaKodesh, who furnishes people with power to fulfill their God-given calling. Now, notice that in order to be anointed, you need to have contact with the anointed substance. Say contact. There's no such thing as long-distance anointing. Right? You don't get anointed at a long distance. You have to be close. That oil had to make contact with the one being anointed. It is only after you and I rub shoulders with and against Yeshua, the anointed one, that we can move and operate in that anointing. Not long distance. If you abide in me, and I abide in you, contact. Say contact. See, that means closeness. It means me daily rubbing against, rubbing shoulders with Messiah, getting to know him, hearing his voice at close proximity. So when we think about anointing, we need to think contact. So how connected to Mashiach are we? How often do we rub shoulders with him through prayer? How often do we rub shoulders with him through the Word of God? Through worship and service. How often do we meditate on his ways and look for the instruction of the Ruach in our lives? Because so many times we think that there's a dichotomy of our regular day. You know, we go to work, we get up, we do our thing. And our religious being. I want to tell you that every second of our life needs to be in contact with the Anointed One. Because every second of our life, our entire being, when we're working, when we're playing, whatever we're doing, we are representatives of the Anointed One and have the ability to affect people's lives in a powerful way. I suggest that it is to the degree in which you and I rub shoulders with God is the same degree in which we will walk in the anointing of God. Period. To the same degree that you are rubbing shoulders with God in the ways I talked about is the same level of anointing that we will have. Connected. Say connected. Connected is key. So it's important to note that the anointing is more than a smear of oil on the body or a flask of oil poured on the head. Matter of fact, in Yeshayahu chapter 10 and verse 27, it says, "And it shall be in that day his burden shall turn away from on your shoulder and his yoke from your neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." You see, he's talking about people who are oppressed, and the anointing would destroy that oppression, would break oppression off people's lives. It is the same anointing that Messiah carried. It came and it set the prisoner free. It broke the yoke of oppression. We see the word anointing again, and it speaks of the blessing of God toward Israel through the Messiah, the Anointed One. Then in the Brit Chadashah, we find oil again being used to anoint during times of prayer, like in Yaakov chapter 5, to call the elders of the Kehillah and have them anoint the sick person with oil. For what? To break the oppression of sickness. So the anointing is God moving and working through people for the purposes of advancing the Malchut Elohim, the kingdom of God. We already alluded to it, but let's take a closer look at who is anointed. We already talked about priests and kings being anointed. As I already suggested in our Hanukkah story, that the Maccabees were anointed by God to accomplish that task. Powerful anointing. But how about us as believers? I want to tell you, it's super important for us to understand Messiah's anointing. Matter of fact, you remember the story that Shmuel was to go down to Yishai's house and anoint one of his sons king. And of course, each son, more impressive than the next, tall, dark, and handsome, looked like great candidates to be king. And he ran them through, and Shmuel, and he said, "Nope, not that one, and not that one." Shmuel was probably saying, "I hope that one," but it wasn't him either. And finally he said, "Do you have any more sons?" And he said, "Well, there's one more, but he's, you know, a little guy. He's out in the field tending sheep." And Shmuel said, "Go get him. Send and bring him back, because we won't sit down and eat." And you know that gets every man. What do you mean we won't sit down and eat? Wait, we're not going to eat until, go get the kid. You know, they ran out with Godspeed and found him. "We won't sit down and eat until he gets here." And he sent and brought him in with ruddy cheeks, red hair, and bright eyes. He was a good-looking fellow. Adonai said, "Stand up and anoint him. He's the one. He's the one." Shmuel took the horn of oil and anointed him there in his brother's presence. And from that day on, listen to this, from that day on, from the time he was anointed on, the spirit of Adonai would fall upon David with power. And Shmuel set out and went to Ramah. From that day, not before, but from the time he was anointed, David possessed the power to break the yoke of oppression off of people's lives. And it's evident, remember, that Shaul would call for David and have him play his harp in his presence so that the evil tormenting spirit would be broken, the oppression would be broken off of Shaul, and he would feel peace. The anointing. David, who would be the forerunner of Messiah, Yeshua, of which it says in the Psalms, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness, therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy in preference of your companions. Which is also echoed in Messianic Jude chapter 1 and verse 9, declaring it a messianic psalm. In Tehillim 80 and verse 20, 89 and 20, it says, I have found David my servant and anointed him with my holy oil. So the messianic kingdom that would come through David carries with it an anointing to break the yoke of the oppressor. Yeshayahu 61, which is also echoed in the Besorot, says, the spirit of Adonai Elohim is upon me, because Adonai has anointed me to announce good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, to let out into light those bound in the dark, to proclaim the year of the favor of Adonai and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, yes, provide for those in Sion who mourn, giving them garlands instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a cloak of praise instead of a heavy spirit, so that they will be called oaks of righteousness planted by Adonai, in which he takes pride. And then in Acts 10:38, it says how God anointed Yeshua from Nazareth with the Ruach HaKodesh and with power. And what did he do? He went about doing good and healing all, say all, who were oppressed of the devil. The anointing to break oppression, the yoke of oppression, the burden of oppression, to break it off people's lives. Here we clearly see that Messiah Yeshua was anointed of God. But it doesn't end with Messiah, because his followers, you and I, are also anointed of God. 2 Corinthians 1 says, For however many promises God has made, they all find their yes in connection with him. That is why it is through him that we say the amen when we give glory to God. Moreover, it is God who sets both us and you, note this, in firm union with the Messiah. He has anointed us. Say, I'm anointed. That's not wishful thinking. That's not hyperbole. You are anointed in Messiah. He has anointed us, put his seal on us, and given us his spirit in our hearts as a guarantee for the future. Say guarantee. Because I know we live in uncertain times. Not really. Because your future is guaranteed in Messiah. Not maybe it'll work out. I hope it'll work out. No, the scripture here tells us that your future and my future are guaranteed. And then in Yochanan Aleph, chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, but you have received the Messiah's anointing. Wow. Selah. You, people of God, have received Messiah's anointing from HaKodesh, and you know all this. How encouraging is that? That's a good word. That he anointed us, that he put his seal on us, meaning that we're secure in him. He has given us his spirit in our hearts, guaranteeing our future. That, my friends, is a feel-good message, but it hinges on one condition, that we are in firm union with the Messiah. Connected. Say connected. Look at me. Religion is so tempting. And I want to say this, religion is so easy. Because you don't have to be connected. You could run through the list of do's and don'ts. And it gives us a false sense of security. But this anointing of God comes through an absolute rock-solid connection with Him. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. You hear that? It's a rock-solid connection. It's not an on-and-off connection. It's not a sometimes hot and sometimes cold connection. It is a 24-hour-a-day, 7 days-a-week connection. Yochanan Aleph 2:27 says, "As for you, my friends, the messianic anointing you receive from the Father remains in you." Say, "I'm anointed." Now, you might not feel anointed. You might look in the mirror and say, "I don't even look anointed." You might not even sense an anointing. Doesn't matter. Scripture says you are anointed. So that you have no need for anyone to teach you, and on the contrary, as his messianic anointing continues to teach you about all things and is true, not a counterfeit. So just as he taught you, and here's again that condition, remain united with him. We are anointed because we rub shoulders and are connected to, closely to the anointed one. Remember the Talmudim of Yeshua when they went before the Sanhedrin? What did they say? They noted that they were with Yeshua. They noted, they saw the anointing. They saw that these men had been with the Messiah. They were connected to them. They were like him. And it was obvious. They were anointed. So here we see that we are anointed and that the anointing teaches us. And the reason it does this is because we are anointed by the Ruach HaKodesh, who is the one who is called our counselor and teacher. You know, when we talk about that, you know, how many people, you know, Yeshua lives in our hearts. We tell the kids, right? Yeshua lives in our hearts. Now, we don't think that there's a little figure of Yeshua living in our left ventricle or something, do you? Tapping around, you know? No, he lives in our hearts through the Ruach HaKodesh. And if you ever wonder what people on the face of the earth have the most influence, it's you and I. You and I are anointed of God. How many people could say that? Who could say that? That's not a boastful thing, because it's not our anointing, it's His. But who could say that but the people of God? That we are, you and I, have an anointing, the anointing of Messiah in us. I'm going to tell you in a second why that's so important. That we have the mighty Ruach HaKodesh living inside us, the anointing of Yeshua himself. Why is that important? I'm going to give you my last point of how the anointing is manifest. Why is it important to know? Well, yesterday I was, couldn't wait actually, to tinker with my gear. Like if you step behind me, I got all sorts of things back there. And the piece of gear, you know, it has like hundreds of effects in it and all sorts of cool things. And every once in a while, they give an update. So you just plug it in and press a button, and it receives the update. And in that update, it must have got like 15 or 20 new things put into it for free. And that's really cool, right? And it took a second to receive. I just pressed the button, boom. Spin for 30 seconds, you got it. Awesome. But here's the thing. If I just unplugged it and didn't read what it entitled me to, I would never reap the benefits of those things that were added. If I didn't know what it would do for me, I would never expect it to do it for me. I would just go on using it the way it was and receive no benefit of the anointing. And so it's important to understand how the anointing manifests so that you and I could expect certain things to happen in and through our lives because you and I are anointed of God. So let's talk about this. One, listen, we're celebrating Hanukkah. Fight for freedom. Light the candle of freedom. Light the candle of hope. That was the anointing of God upon their lives to do the impossible. That's what God is in the business of. What is impossible for man is possible with God. And how does he make that transference through the anointing? He anoints us to do what we couldn't do without him. That special power to get the job done. Friend, when you speak, think about what we do. We share the simple Besorah, the gospel message, and say this. And if you're listening and you're not here, and you're listening today, and you don't know Yeshua, or you've fallen away from Yeshua, the good news is that you can come to know him. You can have a personal relationship to the God of Israel through the Messiah of Israel. And all you need to do is turn from your sins and accept and believe what he's done for you. Who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? It's an act of faith. Who has believed this fantastical thing that God has done? But when you share that simple truth, can you imagine that lives are changed? So we shared that simple truth last week. Rabbi Carroll shared it. And we got a letter during the week that you guys know of. Someone responded and said, thank you so much, because their life was changed through a spoken word. How does that happen? The supernatural power of God through the anointing. And you and I have it. You don't even have to feel like you have it. You don't have to look like you have it. You just have it. Isn't that good news? So we're going to talk about what exactly you have. What's the list of the goodies God has downloaded into your spirit and anointed you to do? Well, one, we know from Yochanan Aleph 2:20 that you have received Messiah's anointing. Well, let's look at Messiah's anointing from those passages of Scripture. That you and I are anointed to announce good news to the poor. We are anointed to declare the Besorah, the gospel, the good news to those who are poor in spirit and in body. And you don't even have to feel like you're good at it. Because I know we want to feel like we're good. Rabbi, I'm no good at it. That's okay. You don't have to be good. It's nothing about being good or not good or eloquent or uneloquent. Nothing like that. It's that you have been anointed to say it. And I'm going to give you a testimony in a second. But the letter to the Messianic community in Rome, chapter 1 and 16, says, "The Besorah is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe, first for the Yehudi and also for the Gentile." It's the power of God that brings salvation. Before I came to faith, I had one family member who would, you know, at a family gathering, would just say a few words, not the whole, wouldn't sit there, just a few words about the gospel to me. And in just those few words, they looked and seemed insignificant. At times, I got angry at them. What are you telling me that for? But those few words would stay with me for months and months and months. And God would speak to me and speak to me and call me and work on my life. Why? Because the gospel is the power of God, and he was, as a child of God, anointed to declare it. So uncomplicated. Simple sharing. Just a few things. I looked angry. I looked like I didn't receive it. But boy, did I receive it. God was working on me and working on me. And I want to tell you that it doesn't matter what people look like when you tell them. Well, I'm not good at it because when I tell people, they get all angry at me. I was angry. But God was using it. Why? Because the person was anointed, like every believer is, to declare the good news. And when you declare it, God does his thing. So that's one thing. Second thing that you and I, so now that you know that, it's so easy to share the gospel. Just a couple of things. You know, just look, I just shared the simple gospel. It took me 2 minutes. And maybe someone got mad at that. It's okay. God will use that because it's anointed. You're also anointed to heal the brokenhearted. How do you heal the brokenhearted? You speak words of life and blessing to people who have been subjected to a life of hearing death, negativity, and curses spoken over their lives. So many people are filled with negativity. People speak negativity over their lives. Kids, you'll never amount to anything. You're no good. You can't do it. You'll never amount to nothing. Kids hear that their whole lives. Sometimes unbelieving parents curse their own kids. And you've been anointed to heal the brokenhearted. How do you do that? Words of life. Words of love. Words that build people up, make them feel good about themselves. Why? Because they're created in the image of God. That God, you know, when I look at people, it doesn't matter from uneducated to educated, every single person is so valuable and has intrinsic gifts within themselves that God gave them. And a wisdom, whether it's academic wisdom or not, but wisdom that is given from God. And it's a powerful thing. And people need to hear that. It says in Tehillim 34, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those crushed in spirit." Many people crushed in spirit that you are anointed to bring life to them. "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." How spoken words of life will bind up those wounds of destruction and cursings that have been spoken over people's lives. Let me give you the third one. You've been anointed to proclaim freedom to the captives, to let out into light those bound in dark. Yeshua told us to let your light shine before men. Did he not? He said, don't hide it under a bushel. He said, let it shine before men. Let your light shine. Why? Because light dispels darkness. And the light of the love of God shining through you brings freedom to those who are bound in darkness. You know what? Know what people are like? People are like, if we went pitch black right now, and they're just groping. You ever been in pitch black? You could be in your own house, but as soon as it gets that dark, you start to grope because you lose all your orientation. And that's what people are like. They're groping in darkness. And it's not easy. And God's given us light because guess what? When you could see, you walk freely, don't you? You walk confidently, don't you? You walk in authority, don't you? Because you know exactly where you're going. You know exactly how to get there. But when you're in darkness, you're bound. Hatred binds people. And the world is full of hate and darkness. I've never seen more hate and darkness than I've seen in the past 10 years ever. It's mind-boggling. But God gives his love and his light in our lives so that people could be led into freedom, into a spacious place. Look what it says. It says, I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. And you know, in the Jewish way of thinking, said this before, but God shows his love through his instructions. God loves us, just like a father. How does a parent show their kid that they love them? They teach them what to do and how to do it right. Hey, you don't do this and you don't do that because your life's not going to go well if you do this or that. But if you do this and you go this way, your life's going to be blessed. That's instruction. That's how God instructs us. And that's his love being poured out in our lives. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. We say it in the Vahafta. And it goes on to say, teach your children as they rise and you go along the way. Teach them, instruct them, love them. Show them the right way to go. That brings freedom. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord and he brought me into a spacious place. Freedom. Let me give you another one, number four. You're anointed to do all these things. You're anointed to shine your light and to love people. You want to see people's lives change? Do those two things. And you'll see the type of liberty, shackles begin to break off people's lives who don't experience really the love of God. And now they can experience it through you because you're anointed to do it. You've been anointed to proclaim God's favor and comfort. You know, so many people, unfortunately, are used to being in disfavor. Right? So many times people say, oh, nothing ever goes right for me. Right? Things just don't go my way. I have bad luck, they'll say. Oh, God must not like me. Even believers say this. Oh, God must not like me, or maybe I'm not performing to his standard. That's not the way God works. Or else we as Jewish people would never be here today. Just like the angel told Miriam that she was highly favored of God. But after he said that, it didn't feel like she was a favorite, like she was favored because she got the scrutiny and so on and so forth. But you and I are anointed to proclaim God's favor and comfort. We're anointed to be agents of comfort in a world filled with mourning. But if I could tell you, you know what? I would venture to say that if people in this very room were honest, you would say, yeah, I have my moments too. I'm so unhappy with life. Even so unhappy with God. Thinking I got such a raw deal. Friend, that's mourning. And God's anointing is to bring healing from that. You are highly favored of God. I'm not making that up. It's not hyperbole. It's just a fact. You are highly favored of the Lord. His anointing to bring that same favor to others and comfort to others resides in you. Just does. But just like that little machine here, if I don't press that button, that little thing doesn't do its thing. It remains unnoticed in the world. And unless you release, you know now that you have the anointing to bring God's favor and comfort to others. All you have to do is do it. Well, it doesn't feel like I have that. You have it. It doesn't look like I have it. You have it. Let me give you the next one, which we could all do because we're anointed to do it, and that is to be a people of praise and worship, exuding gladness and joy for others to see. Why in the world are those people so darn happy? What are you there singing? And I always, you know, when I first came to the Lord, I went to a church, and people are raising their hands. I was like, yee. And they're waving. You know, I was like, wow, what are they waving at? You know, they're going for it. And it seems in the natural, boy, that's absurd. But yet when you have an encounter with the living God and you're doing it out of a heart of love to the invisible God that we can't see yet we know is real, that lives in us through his Ruach, that we lift our hands not to the ceiling, but to heaven, to an invisible world that we can't see yet is more real than the one we're sitting in right now. And we give him praise, and we exuberantly worship our King. I want to encourage you, don't keep that in. Let that out for people to see. I want to read this to you. Why? Because it jazzes me. That's why. And it's Tehillim 95. Just listen. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are also his. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. The sweet psalmist of Israel, David, right? Encouraging worship, anointed to worship. You and I are anointed to worship God. And there is something dynamic that happens when God's people worship him. Something is released. The atmosphere is changed. I can't explain it, but I know it's true. So many times, I'll be in my room just having a regular devotion. I'll take a second and just strum a chord worship God, and the atmosphere changes. I didn't change the atmosphere. I didn't move an inch. But God came and sat enthroned on the praises of one of his people. What other people on earth does that happen to? I lived in the world many years before that ever happened to me. But it happens because we're anointed for it to happen. Worthy are you, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Hallelujah. Let me give you the last thing. I mean, this is not an exhaustive list, friends, but this is what the scripture says, that you have Messiah's anointing. I didn't say it. God said it. And I believe it. You have Messiah's anointing. It's in you. Shouldn't you be excited? That's so exciting. But Rabbi, you don't know me. I'm not worthy. It doesn't matter if you're worthy. He made you worthy. You are the righteousness of God in Messiah Yeshua. He made you worthy. And his anointing is in you. I'll give you one more thing and we're going to call it quits. And we could go get a shmia. Is that we are called to do good and bring healing to those around us, both spiritual and otherwise. Acts 10:38 says, and he went about, right, how God anointed Yeshua of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good. He was a do-gooder. Imagine that. Went about doing good and healing. How many? All who were oppressed. The anointing. How God anointed to break oppression off of people's lives. You and I are anointed to break oppression off of people's lives. To go and do good. And there's so much good to be done. I'm going to go out on a limb and say you could wake up tomorrow and find something good to do for God. It could be a small thing, a big thing, or anything in between. You're anointed to do good. You're anointed to break the oppressor's yoke off of people's lives. I'm going to close with this verse, but hear it. This is who you are. For we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art. That's what you are. Created in Messiah Yeshua, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which he set so that we would walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us. That's who you are. You are God's workmanship. A work of art. Now, when I look in the mirror, God, you got a sense of humor. I want to see that art you're hanging up there in heaven. But God looks at us and says, we are works of art. And aren't we? You know, I think of even God's creation when he makes it, right? Because we're so used to it because we see him all the time. But think about a giraffe. A giraffe, right? We're so used to seeing them, so it looks kind of like normal, right? But every time I see one, I say, could you imagine if no one ever saw a giraffe and lays their eye on a giraffe? That's like a freaky thing. But yet a giraffe is awesome. It's so, these creatures that God has made are so interesting and complex. Beautiful. That could be said to every single thing God's hand has made. We're works of art. Totally unique. No one like us. My wife keeps telling me that. No one like us. We're his workmanship. But we've been anointed. You've been anointed to do good. You could do it in your family. You could do it at your job. You could do it when you're playing. You could do it when you're about your day. Yeah, you too, like Yeshua, could be a do-gooder. And what you bring with you is an anointing that crushes and destroys the yoke of oppression that's on people's lives. Because that's who God has made you to be. You have Messiah's anointing. Why did people love to be around Yeshua? They thronged him. Why is that? Because of that. Don't you want to be around people doing good? Right? I do. It's a powerful thing. Not many people, by the way, out in the world necessarily looking to do good for others. Some. But a lot of people look just looking to do good for themselves. But God's anointed us to do good for others. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. That's a lot to digest. But I'll tell you what, Hanukkah is more than just 8 nights of lighting the shamash, right, Yeshua, and then the other candles. No, it's about the anointing of God being upon the lives of his people to go out and do what. Why did Yeshua, why was he so excited about going to the Father? Because he knew his ministry would be multiplied through the many believers that would follow in his footsteps, and that he knew his anointing, the Messiah's anointing, would be in every single one of them. That's exciting. And I want to encourage you to use that anointing. All these things that I talked about today, you go out and you act on each and every one. Whether you feel like it, whether you think you're worthy, act on those things and see God move. Amen? Let me bless you. Your heir Adonai panavilecha v'yakunecha. Yisar Adonai panavilecha v'yisem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Father, I pray your sweet shalom to be upon your people. Father, I speak health and blessing, spirit, soul, and body over each and every one, over each and every family. Keep them safe, protect them, and bless them, I pray. B'Shem Yeshua and God's people said, Amen. Thanks so much for listening, and Chag Sameach. Enjoy the first night of Hanukkah.